welcome to our Sunday evening service. Well, are you ready for Thursday? Now, is Thursday a holiday or is it a Hallmark day? I mean, let's be honest here. Do we call it a holiday? Do we call Valentine's Day a holiday, or do we call it simply a Hallmark day, excuse for Hallmark to print some new cards and sell some merchandise? I mean, you know, when you think about it, there's a lot of days in on our calendar that we probably don't celebrate, but are still considered days. I mean, in September, I believe there's Talk Like a Pirate Day. Anybody celebrate that one? There's Taco Day, which is the day that you're supposed to eat a taco, and that's a special day because you can actually go to some Mexican restaurants and Taco Bell and get a free taco. There's Donut Day. I don't know what these days are because I don't celebrate them. I don't need free food. Most of the time, I don't want the food I get, so I don't need free food. But tonight, in honor of Valentine's Day, I want to share a message about, well, Valentine's, a time of patience. And we're going to be looking at the text out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, a typical verse to be looking at around this time. A group of professional people posed a question, "What is love?" to a group of 4 to 8 year olds. When my grandmother got arthritis, she couldn't bend over and paint her toenails anymore. So my grandfather does it for her all the time, even when his hands got arthritis too. That's love. Rebecca, age 8. Love is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on shaving cologne and they go out and smell each other. Carl, age 5. Love is when you go out to eat and give somebody most of your French fries without making them give you any of theirs. Chrissy, age 6. Love is what makes you smile when you're tired. Terry, age 4. Love is when my mommy makes coffee for my daddy and she takes a sip before giving it to him to make sure it tastes okay. Danny, age 7. Love is when you kiss all the time. Then when you get tired of kissing, you still want to be together and you talk more. My mommy and daddy are like that. They look gross when they kiss. Emily, age 8. Love is when you tell a guy you like his shirt, then he wears it every day. Noel, age 7. My mommy loves me more than anybody. You don't see anyone else kissing me to sleep at night. Claire, age 6. Love is when your puppy licks your face even after you left him alone all day. Marianne, age 4. I know my older sister loves me because she gives me all her old clothes and has to go out and buy new ones. Lauren, age 4. I let my big sister pick on me because my mom says she only picks on me because she loves me. So I pick on my baby sister because I love her. Bethany, age 4. Love is when mommy sees daddy on the toilet and she doesn't think it's gross. I'm sorry. You really shouldn't say I love you unless you mean it. But if you mean it, you should say it a lot. People forget. Jessica, age 8. There are two kinds of love. Our love, God's love, but God makes both kinds of love, both kinds of them. Jenny, age 8. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8, the Apostle Paul gives us 16 different qualities that describes God's love. Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. So when you think about those qualities of love in Paul's writing in this, the reality is every loving person must be a patient person. And we urge you, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14, Paul writes this, "And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone, even that person that gets on under your skin. Be patient with everyone. Be patient with our spouse if we're married. Be patient with our children. Be patient with everyone." Seriously, how would you rank your patience? If I was to ask you tonight if you are a patient person, what would your answer be? Sometimes, when it's convenient, or when no one's looking. It's not easy being patient all the time, and it's not easy being patient with everyone. Is patience a strong quality in your life? The best I could say, my patience with 1 out of 16 people. That means there's always 1 out of the 16 that gets under my skin. I think it's a little, maybe even a smaller amount. There's always someone that just finds that way to get under your skin. And the one person I'm patient with is myself. How many of you are more patient with yourself than others? I know it's easy to be patient when it's just you that you're being patient with. Or when you make mistakes, or when you do something that everyone else, you get irritated and upset with everyone else about. Most of us would not rank patience as the number one quality in our life. Yet according to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, God wants patience to be the number one quality in our lives. Point number two I want to make tonight is the hardest people to be patient with are the ones we love the most. Isn't that the truth? You know, we have a hard time being patient with those we love. We expect them to treat us better. We expect them to respond to our love more affectionately or be easier going than what they are. But the truth is, that's just our way of thinking. Why is it that we think those we love we're harder on those people we love? Believe it or not, that is the way God designed it. You see the word used here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 for patience is better translated long suffering. You like that word better? You want to go through long suffering, or would you rather talk about patience tonight? I know as a person that's prepared this message and thought about those words, I think I like patience better than long suffering, don't you? It's easier to comprehend and to it makes you feel better to say I would rather be a patient person than a person who has experienced long suffering or has to deal with long suffering. Love is long suffering. When we truly love someone, it is oftentimes difficult. It's like when you're in the days of your childhood, maybe when you liked that girl. I know for me, I think I robbed my mom's jewelry box a few times for a certain young lady. Yes, I did that. I can't say I'm proud of that. I did it. And it was found out eventually. My mom likes to buy different jewelries. I think she bought them from the Home Shopping Network or some sort of Avon or something. And there was a bracelet that I took and gave to this girl, Angela, when I was in the fourth grade. I think I maybe got a pair of earrings. It has since been admitted to. But the truth is, none of it worked. She still didn't like me. It just wasn't meant to be. I mean, fourth grade, what are you to say? How much long suffering do you really need? If it's just for 5 to 10 minutes, we give up. But with those we live with and work with, it's a lot harder to be a model of patience. It's really hard for patience in any kind. Confessions. I have said to Stefan numerous times, I have no idea how you're able to be patient with me. How do we develop a long-suffering patience for those we love? You see, when you think about patience, do you think you're a model of it, or do you think you're just simply wanting everyone else to be patient with you? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 through 4 says this, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship, that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy, and it does not boast. It is not proud. Notice that Paul starts this chapter by saying, and now I will show you the most excellent way. We would all agree that the most excellent way is always to not lose our patience. Most of us need to be shown how not to lose our patience. So how do we develop a long-suffering patience for those we love? We need to watch what we say and how we say it. And now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. Paul tells us right there that it's important to watch what we say. Guard our minds. That's the number one thing when it comes to patience. I am convinced that my three-year-old is my test of patience. And if I can survive her misbehavior or her just simply, if I can just survive, I'll be a more patient person. Because she's a three-year-old. And I don't know how many of you remember those days, but they want your attention. They test you on just about everything. And you have to love them in spite of everything. And I think when you think about patience, do you think about how patient God is with us? I mean, isn't it great to think that we deserve so much wrath, but He gives us so much grace? Isn't it great to think that He has done all that He has done for you and I? What do you say when you're about to lose your patience? Well, we're about to lose our temper. Most of us say something that's hurtful, something that is not loving. Examples: you always, or you never understand me, or you're not listening. Then consider how we say it. How do you say something that is hurtful in a hurtful way? Most of us don't say it very nicely. Most of us don't say it very quietly either. Have you ever been in an argument when there's no yelling? I haven't. Of course, I will be honest, and I think it's probably more of a testimony of Lindsay than it is of me. We don't get in many arguments. We have kept our cool in most cases, and it's kind of nice that I can say that arguments aren't a very strong part of our relationship. And it's good because we do communicate in situations. We sit down and talk through our situations, and we go through how we can resolve it best. Sometimes I do feel like she doesn't understand, and sometimes I feel like I don't understand what she's. And so we have to get to a place where we are listening. And that's the number one thing, is it's always important to always be available for those conversations that need to happen so that the arguments don't happen. I need to watch what I say and how I say it. Ephesians 4:9 says, "Do not let any old unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, so that it may benefit those who listen." I think that's a verse that we could put in our lives and truly model and live by. Because if you think about it, I'm going to read it again. "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, so that it may benefit those who listen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Be a positive person. Encourage them. Strengthen them. Understand that we are here to build each other up, and we're only going to be as strong as everyone else around us. We are responsible for each other. When Cain killed Abel, God came to Cain, and Cain's response, "Am I my brother's keeper?" I want to encourage you. Yes, you are your brother's keeper. Yes, you are your sister's keeper. We are not here as an island. We are responsible to each other, and our goal is to make sure everyone is strengthened in the Lord, because the enemy is always on the attack out there, and we don't want to leave one person behind. We want everyone to grow in their relationship and their knowledge of Jesus Christ. Does losing my patience build others up? Does losing my patience benefit those who listen? I need to watch what I say and how I say it. Instead of losing my patience and saying something that is unwholesome, I need to say something positive in a positive way. When I was working at Walmart, there was always a saying, when you have criticism, first look for something positive. Get the attention. And I remember one night, I was on kind of a, I don't know, I guess you can say, I was in a little bit of a bad mood. And I was working overnight, and the overnight crew, stocking crew, had developed this new habit that was, in my mind, not a smart move. And what it was they were taking the milk crates out of the dairy area, and they were using the milk crates to stand up on, to stack, to do the stocking on the top shelf. Well, the one who started this trend was a little old lady, couldn't be more than 90 pounds. She was small. So she got away with it. Well, then I went out on the floor, and there's this guy, this fella, his name's Terry. He was big, bigger than me. And here he was standing on a milk crate. And I could just see the thing bending underneath him, and I'm thinking, this is not going to end well. If it's not going to end well, if it may not be tonight, it may be sometime. And so I went and asked my manager, because I was the backroom supervisor, and I went asked my manager if he would come with me as I went and talked to Terry. I went to Terry, and I said, "Hey, Terry, I want to thank you. I just want to say, man, I really appreciate all you do, but I want you to think about something for just a moment. You work for Walmart. Walmart has policies and procedures that if you follow, they will be with you, and you can work here without any problem. But if you fall through that milk crate, they're going to ask you, how did it happen? Why did it happen?" And then Julius looked at me and said, or looked at Terry and said, "And then they're going to ask who the manager was." In all that conversation, we learned a simple lesson, that we could get more done with an encouraging conversation instead of simply saying, "Don't do that," or "Are you dumb?" No. It's about carrying a conversation in a positive way and encouraging people and getting them to understand and think for themselves. God gave each and every one of us a mind, didn't he? And we can encourage each other to use that mind for better equip each other. I need to know and act on what God's word says about patience. If I have a gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. You're nothing without patience. God's word has a lot to say about patience. There's even an entire book in the Bible devoted to the subject of patience, the book of Job. There are Bible characters who were experts in patience. Job, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Paul the apostle. I need to know and act on what God's word says about patience. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. What is the purpose of patience? Why does God want me to be more patient? So I can be more like him. Think about that for just a moment. We are made in God's image, aren't we? And God is patient with us. So we should be patient with one another, encouraging one another, strengthening one another, and developing a plan to go to the next level with one another. Our destination is heaven together, isn't it? And it's not about who gets there first. It's not about, we're not running a race to see who gets there first. We're not running a race. We're not trying to see who has a better seat. We're just all trying to get there together. It's not a competition to see who has a better crown. Because I love the imagery of the book of Revelation when it talks about the crowns. You know how all these people who have their crown of life, but you know what happens to the crowns? They are all laid at the feet of Jesus. We don't go around sporting our crowns. It's not about the show of how glorious your crown will be. All the crowns will be laid at the feet of Jesus, because nothing compares to what he has done for us. And so we have to realize that we have to be responsible to one another and encouraging one another, strengthening one another. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, "He is patient with you. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." We take for granted the patience of God. We take for granted the patience of God when we don't extend the same patience to others. What is the power of patience? Patience is always rewarded. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 15, "And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. How many times have we ever said, 'I'm glad I waited'? How many times have we ever said, 'I wish I would have waited longer'? How many of you ever have had buyer's remorse. I am convinced that one of the downfalls of shopping, or treasure hunting, as I call it, that's what I call thrift store shopping. I am convinced that buyer's remorse is one of the weaknesses of shopping in thrift stores. Why? Because you see something and you think, oh, I've got to have it, and I better buy it before someone else gets it. And there's only one of them. So you go in through, you go and get it, you pay the price, and you walk out the door and you say, what did I just do? And why did I do it? I mean, what do I need this for? I already have 10 toasters. I don't need an 11th. Or my thing at one time was buying these, I had bought one of those, it was a kitchen appliance that you have three different attachments to. Oh, it was great. You know, it had a, I was doing a juicing thing at the time, so it had a juicer attachment, it had a food processor, it was something else, a slicer, I think. And it was all these different attachments. Oh, it was great. And I bought one, and it was pretty cool. I took it home, started juicing, and I was using it for a little bit, and then a piece broke off of it. And I was like, oh, man, I can't use it anymore, because it was like the safety mechanism was messed up. So what did I do? Well, I went back into the thrift stores, and I found another one. But it was more expensive this time. And guess how many times I've used it? Zero. Even though I thought I was going to use it, oh, I was using it before, so I'm going to use it now. No. Because every time I think about juicing, or it's easier to just buy a bottle of juice. At least then I don't have to clean up the mess. I mean, those things, those little juicer things, the little screens, that will test your patience. You want to learn patience, try cleaning one of those a few times. Because you try to scrub it and it tears your sponge all apart. You sit there spraying, nothing comes out. Little pieces are still in it. So it's easy to have buyer's remorse. I should have waited. I should have just thought through the whole idea of, do I really need it? What is patience rewarded with? The promises of God. God takes care of our needs, doesn't He? You know, how many of you have ever been in want and not been provided the blessings that God has promised you? He either gives you what you need, or He gives you comfort in getting through what you've lost. Lastly, in order to possess more patience, I need to surrender everything to God. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not loved, I gain nothing. There is nothing to be gained by losing my patience. Instead, I need to possess more patience. Where do I need to go in order to possess more patience? I need to go to the source of patience. God is that source. Patience is the fruit of is a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. How do you bear fruit? By planting the seed of repentance. I ask for forgiveness for my impatience. Can God give me more patience? Being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have a great endurance and patience. Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. Will I become a model of patience overnight? No. I need to be patient with myself and understanding that God's working out the details. I referenced this song a few weeks ago. But I remember this song very vividly because I remember being a kid at North Shore Christian Church in Jacksonville, Florida. Boyd and Blaine, who traveled the different churches throughout Florida. They were caddies on the LPGA tour. And as they traveled with the LPGA, they would go to the different churches in the area and sing and do a show and all. And one of their songs that they sung a lot of times was, "He's Still Working on Me." And after they had come, I loved that song. I was a kid and loved the song. And I remember one Sunday night we had specials where anybody could sing specials like we do here. Singspiration night. And I went up front and I had to sing that song, and I stood behind the podium. I was a kid. I was hiding behind the podium. And I was just singing that song. "He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be." I didn't sound like that, I promise. And it's so true. God is still working on us. I like the little stanza in that song. "It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. But oh, how patient he must be, because he's still working on me." He's still working on us, isn't he? And I'm so glad he is, because that means he hasn't given up. I remember my dad and I decided one time, we went to a yard sale, and we saw one of those puzzles, 3D puzzles. I like puzzles. I like putting puzzles together sometimes. It's fun. It's relaxing. I told Lindsay a few months ago, I said, "You know what? I want to get just a solid white puzzle. I think it'd be challenging just to put a solid white puzzle together. No picture, just simply putting them together by the..." I think I'm just wanting to torture myself or something. But we bought one of those 3D puzzles, and it was a Notre Dame Cathedral. I think that thing sat on the table for months before we finally got it complete. And I think it was missing three pieces. I'm not sure. But I tell you, you want to learn patience? Get you a 3D puzzle. Or actually just get a three-year-old with a bunch of puzzles, because we have a few of them around our house right now that's missing a lot of pieces, because she has started using them as tokens of some sort. I'm going to watch what I say and how I say it. I'm going to learn and act on what God says about patience, and I'm going to trust God to give me the patience I need. God works out the good for those who love him. We can trust him on that. He wants us to trust in what he's doing in our lives more than put our trust in what we think we need to do with our lives. In order for that to happen, we have to be patient in what God is doing. Favorite verse of mine comes out of the book of Psalms. "Be still. Be still and know that I am God." Are you still enough to know that he is God? Or are you too busy on what you want to do? Dennis Menace used to have those little cartoons in the... They used to have the Dennis Menace cartoons in the Sunday paper. I think they probably still do. They probably reuse some of them or whatever. But I remember one of those is Dennis is talking to Joey. He says, "Mr. Wilson says, you want to make God laugh? Tell him your plans." You see, God has a lot of sense of humor, doesn't he? He tolerates us. I think that's a testimony to his sense of humor, but it's also a testimony to his patience, and we should have that same patience. Trust in what he's doing. Let's face it, folks, he's got eternity on his mind. He's not just looking for a short-term fix or a short-term fix in the situation. He's looking for eternity. That's what his mind is always on, because he has invited us to be a part of that. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for the wonderful blessings that you have given us. We thank you.